Take your Bibles and let's go to the Gospel of John this morning, the Gospel of John. Last week I began looking at with you, there's 31 stated reasons of why Jesus came. And in those 31 reasons, there are several stated by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Last week we looked at the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday night, we looked at why he came. He said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And now today, we look at the third stated reason by the Lord Jesus Christ of why he came. And let's notice in John chapter 8 and verse number 12, where the Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now look in chapter 12. Chapter 12, if you would, and look at verse number 46. Chapter 12 and verse 46. Jesus says here, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." So Jesus clearly states, "I am come a light into the world." And so this morning we want to look at this subject matter, Jesus being the light of the world. I'm looking forward to the program tonight for many reasons, but you know, when children get involved in children's programs, be they at a church or at a school, they have a way of just forgetting their lines, don't they? There was a little boy that forgot his lines in a Sunday school program, but his mother was in the front row and she was there trying to prompt him and trying to help him remember his words, but it just didn't help. And finally, she leaned forward and whispered the cue, "I am the light of the world." And her son just smiled big time. And he said, "My mother is the light of the world." Well, he didn't get it quite right, but nonetheless, I think about how Jesus in this context says, "I am the light of the world." And I want to share with you three main points this morning on this subject. And I want you to look at these with me, if you would. And first of all, notice the darkness of the world. Not only how it was back in Bible times, but how really it currently is today. When we think about the darkness of the world, we think about how that the world is enveloped in darkness. For the Bible says in 1 John 5:19, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." And then the Bible says in Galatians 1:4, "Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world." Now that was written several hundred years ago, but nonetheless, it is very current to our time that this world in which we are living in is in many ways enveloped in darkness. But with that, we think about how Jesus in John 15, turn there, would you? In John 15 and verse number 18, what Jesus says about the world. And he says in John 15 and verse number 18 and verse number 19, he says the following, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hate you. If you were of the world love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world," what, church? "Hateth you." And so we see that this world system that according to the book of 1 John is anti-God, anti-Christ, it is a world that is full of hate. If you have been paying any amount of attention in the last few years, you will notice how there is an increase of hatred toward Christianity in our country, where even children are having to be careful about wearing what we would call witness wear because they would be made fun of. Sadly, I read about a 14-year-old boy that was on a bus. And now this has nothing to do with Jesus, but just to show you how full of hatred this world is. And how this 14-year-old boy was on a school bus, and because he wore a Trump hat on the bus, eight individual teenagers beat up on him, putting him in the hospital. Now, I'm not here to advocate for Trump, but what I'm saying, that is just a small sample of the ridiculous hatred that is going on in our society. But even so, Jesus says, understand this, that this world system is going to hate you. And understand that it hated me, that is Jesus, before it hated you. And so even when Jesus came into the world, he was, if you would, and we'll notice this in a little bit, he was not readily received. But nonetheless, Jesus teaches us in this context that this world is full of hate. Go to John chapter 17. John 17, and look at verse number 14. He says this, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now again, just for sake of clarity, let me go over this real quick. The word world is used three different ways in the Bible. There is the world as we see it, planet Earth. Then there is the people of the world, for God so loved the world. Now, in that context, he's speaking of the people. Then according to 1 John, he says, love not the world. What's that word world there mean? It means the idea of the world system, an antichrist kind of system. And so that's when Jesus here says in this context that I have given them thy word and the world hath hated them. This world system that is not grace friendly, that is not Jesus friendly, that is not Bible friendly, he says that world is going to hate you. Now, you have to then ask yourself the question, at least I do, where does such hatred come from? Well, would you go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want you to notice just one verse in that particular chapter, but it does show us where all this kind of hatred and darkness comes from. It has nothing to do, if you would, with political ideology. It's all rooted in the depths of spiritual darkness. And notice now in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. He says, in whom the God, notice, the Bible has it, little g, the little god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So Satan here in this passage of scripture is known as the god, little g, of this world. When he originally was created, he had the opportunity to be in heaven. It is widely believed that he even led the music in heaven. But nonetheless, we find that in that context, he had said, while he was in heaven, he had rebelled against God and said, I will, I will, I will, I will. God says, no, you won't. Cast him out of heaven. And when he fell, so did about a fourth of the angels that had fallen with him. And now he is not, so to speak, in hell, but he roams as a roaring lion, as the little god of this world, doing what? Trying to keep people deceived and trying to keep people in darkness so they would not come to the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches in this context. So Satan is referred to in the Bible as the prince of the world. The Bible says in this context that he is the god of this world, blinding. So you ask yourself, where does such hatred come from? May I say that it comes from the leader, Satan. He is doing what he can to keep people in darkness. He wants to blind the eyes of people. Have you ever wondered why it is so hard to speak to people about Jesus? Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes the reason is he's doing what he can to keep them blinded to the truth. That's his role. That's what he does. But praise God that where sin abounds, grace abounds more. And the grace of God can break through that. But nonetheless, we find that this world, this darkness of the world, it is enveloped in darkness. It is full of hate. It has Satan as the god of this world. But may I say, according to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, the Bible says that this world is passing away. And the world passeth away, 1 John 2:17, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So, with that as a background, we see then Jesus, as we go back to the Gospel of John, we see then Jesus stating that he is the light of the world. There was a boy who once heard his Sunday school teacher say that Jesus was the light of the world. And he took her remark quite literally. After the class was over, he went up to her and said, "If Jesus really is the light of the world, I wish he'd come here and hang out in my alley. It's awfully dark where I live." You see, to that little boy, that's what darkness was all about. But may I say that Jesus Christ himself came into this world that is enveloped in darkness to be the light of the world. Go with me now to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and notice in verse number 9. John chapter 1 and verse 9. John 1, 9, the Bible says this: "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And so Jesus is known as the light in this particular passage of Scripture. And he is revealed as the light. But notice now verse 10 of John 1. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not." So here, the light, the Lord Jesus Christ, is being resisted, one, primarily by the Jewish people. He came unto his own. You would have thought that they would have readily received him, that they would have eagerly anticipated his coming and just would have welcomed him. But no, he came unto his own. His own received him not. The Bible then says in verse number 11, that in this context that he is rejected really by all of mankind, by his own creation. And so the light of the Lord Jesus Christ is being resisted. I can't help but think that even today, that light of the Lord Jesus Christ is still being resisted. We see it in our society. We see it where when truth is spoken, either in the political arena or other kinds of places where the truth, the light, is being lifted up. It is not, if you would, just really accept it. In fact, go with me to John chapter 3 for a moment. In John chapter 3, notice verse 18 and verse 19. The Bible says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved what, church? Darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And so mankind doesn't want to come to the light, doesn't want to come to the truth. Because when they come to the truth, it exposes something. What? It exposes their sin. And they don't want that. They want to continue to live in their sin. They don't want to come to the truth. So they will resist it. And so here in John chapter 1, we find in the context that Jesus is revealed as the light. He is resisted as the light. But notice now back to John chapter 1 and verse number 12, the light is being received. Notice this in verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you know 100% sure this morning that you're saved and on your road to heaven because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, say a hearty amen. 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 Praise the Lord this morning for this great knowledge that you and I, though yes, we were once blinded, We resisted the truth. We resisted the light. But praise God, we came to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Now he's in our life. And that is significant, and I'll share that in a moment with you. But here we see that the Bible says in this context, verse 12 and 13, that when we receive him, we become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That phrase, believe on his name, is found 247 times in the scripture. Believe. And the Bible says here in this context, to receive him. When you receive him, you become the sons of God. I want to remind you where we once were for many of us. According to Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We can look back by God's grace and say, I don't live there anymore. I once was a child of darkness. I once lived there. But praise God, I don't live there anymore. That's because Jesus, as he said in John 12:46, I am come to be a light in the world. Hey, if you would, aren't you glad? I know you are. That when God saw the world in darkness, that God did not condemn it. But he had provided his son, Jesus. In other words, God, instead of cursing the darkness, if I could say it this way, sent a light. And that light of the world is Jesus. Praise God for that. So when we send missionaries to various parts of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, what are we doing? We are sending them to be a light in a dark place. Why is Calvary Baptist Church here? You know, next year, we're going to be celebrating the 40th anniversary. Did you ever think that, Nadine, that this church, well, I don't think she ever thinks that the doors are ever going to close. But think about that. You start a church, you never know really how long it's going to be in existence. You want it to be in existence a long, long time. And then this next year, we'll celebrate the 40th anniversary of Calvary Baptist Church. But in those 40 years, church, God has allowed us to be a lighthouse in this community. We're representing Jesus, the light of the world, because that's why he came. Which then leads me to my third main point this morning, and I want you to notice this in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 in your Bibles, and turn to look at verse number 14. Matthew 5, verse 14 through verse number 16. Because Jesus tells us something about our mission. He came on mission, but now he tells us something about our mission. And he says in Matthew 5 and verse number 14, he says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we find in this context that Jesus is teaching us that he is the light of the world. then we too are the carriers of the light. He says, now you are the light of the world. I'm going back and I'm seated at the right hand of the Father, but you have a mission. Go and be lights in a dark world. Go and be a great representation of Jesus Christ. Represent the light well. And he says here, he says, nobody lights a candle and puts it under a bushel. You know, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 16 that we are to hold forth the word of life blamelessly and also in that context in a harmless way. Now, I think about this. Everybody here this morning, from this side all the way over to here, as believers, we have been given the command to be carriers of the light. Here's a question. Can people clearly see the light of Jesus in us? I mean, when they look at your life, do they see Jesus? I mean, does, if you would, the light of Jesus clearly radiate from your life? If you were put on trial today for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to prove it? Because you see, in our life, we are to be carriers of the light. We are to hold forth the light of the word, holding forth the word of life. And we are to be then compassionate carriers of that light. The Bible says, I want you to think about this for a moment. Ephesians 2:12, having no hope and without God in the world. Friday, before we left the hospital, how many of you know that whenever you go to the hospital and they get ready to discharge you, discharge takes a long time. Just seems like, okay, they gave that order like 7 hours ago. Why are we still here? Nonetheless. But my wife had prepared me. She says, the lady next to me has sepsis. She's 94 years old. And my wife said, I'm having a hard time right now. Now, the reason she was having a hard time, you remember this is how her dad died 2 months ago. He had sepsis, 94 years of age. And she said, so you need to come prepared. And I thought, well, prepared for what? She says, well, her son is here. And so, okay, now I know what she was driving at. So we were able to strike up conversation. We talked a lot about things, and come to find out, he actually was raised on a farm just over here off of Duffield Road. Now he lives in Byron. It's where his mother lives, and was telling me about his religious background and so forth. I could tell the man doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And so I gave him a track. I says, it was one that I had in my pocket called Peace. And I said, this can tell you how you can know you can have peace in your life. And he started to weep. And he says, before you leave, would you go over there and pray for my mom? So I went over there and I pray, her name's Rita. And I prayed for Rita. And of course, at this point, she's not communicating. So I prayed for her. And I turned back to her son. And he's just crying, just crying. But I could tell that this was a moment, if you would, that God orchestrated. I wish I could stand and tell you that today Tony prayed and asked Jesus to save him, because he did not. But a seed was planted. And I couldn't help but think how there are a lot of Tonys, if you would, in the world. There are a lot of people who have no hope. The verse says, without God in the world. Have you ever asked yourself from time to time, when you see people go through some really difficult times, how do those that don't know Christ make it? They have no hope. And I'm telling you, church, the Bible says we who are carriers of the light, we're to go and represent Jesus well. Let the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shine through us so they would see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. It's not, if you would, about us. It's about just making Jesus known and not being ashamed of him. Talking about him lovingly with compassion in our spirit, because we realize people in Gaines have no hope. People in Michigan have no hope. People in the United States of America, many of them have no hope today. But what is the hope? The hope is people like you and me going forth and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. We must be carriers of the light. As evening had come and dusk was giving way to darkness, Robert Louis Stevenson, a small boy at the time, had his nose pressed against the window pane of his house. He was fascinated by the old-fashioned lamplighter coming down the street lighting the gas street lamps. To which he then said, "Look, there's a man coming down the street punching holes in the darkness." May I say that what Jesus said to us in John chapter 12, if you would, he came to punch holes in the darkness. He's the light of the world. And he, as the light of the world, we realize that there are those who are in spiritual darkness even as we speak. Jesus is that light. We now have been given the mission to go forth with a light. Question I ask you as I close, can they clearly see the light of Jesus in you? Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for a stated, clear reason why Jesus came. How he said, "I am come to be a light in the world." And truly he is. He is through us. And how I would pray that today, as your children, we would just clearly show to others a clear presentation of Jesus. May they see Jesus in us. So to be sure, we still battle sin and difficulties in life, but even in those times, help us to just represent Jesus well. Father, for those in this service that don't know Jesus, who haven't come to the light, who have not believed on the Lord Jesus, then today, may they come to believe on him. Help us as your children to let our light so shine brightly before men with the express purpose that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray, now their heads bowed. Would there be those here this morning that say, "Pastor, in my life, I do not know for certain if I died, I'd go to heaven. I do not know Jesus as my Savior. I realize that I am in darkness. I realize I'm in spiritual darkness. I'm without God. I'm without hope. And today I want to come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know what it is for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning. If that's your need, would you raise your hand, rub your at, say, yes, that's my need. That's right where I'm at. Would you remember me in prayer? I wonder this morning, there'd be those here that say, "Pastor, praise God, I know I'm saved. But in my life, I want to be a clear presentation of Jesus, the light of the world. I realize I'm a carrier of that light. And I want to be more faithful in doing that. And I want to just represent Jesus more clearly to a lost and dying world. There are some things in my life I need to deal with so that can be made more clear in my life. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning, that I would be a more clear presentation of Jesus, the light of the world. If that's you, would you raise your hand right where you're at? Anybody at all while we wait? Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Are there others while we wait? Are there others? Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes. Anybody else while we wait? And now, Father, how I thank you for the Holy Spirit working through the Word this morning and touching hearts of people. Several hands, as you have seen, have been raised. And they want to be a more clear presentation. I know I do. I want to be a more clear presentation of Jesus. I want people to be able to see Jesus in me. And I pray that you would help these in particular that have raised their hands this morning, strengthen them, help them to live more and more like Jesus. And that when others look upon their life, they would see Jesus in them. Help us to be faithful carriers of the light in this world that is so dark, in this world system that so hates us. Help us again to stand in these evil days, and having done all to stand, help us to be bold, help us to be compassionate. But help us again to let our light so shine before men that they could see that there is a ray of hope, that there is a way that they can know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So help us to represent Jesus well. In His name I pray, amen.